pray that God will help us this morning. If He doesn't, we're in real trouble. Brother Steve thought that he was going to be somewhat frustrated in the Sunday school hour. I'm going to tell you what, the thought that I want to try to preach on this morning has been difficult for me to iron out and line out in my mind, really how I wanted to preach it. But I hope the Lord will give us some grace, and we'll be able to get right through it in just a few minutes, and we get to our meal and our fellowship time in the back. Song of Solomon, please, chapter number 7 again this morning. Song of Solomon, the sweet song of Solomon.
Yeah.
Book of love and romance.
Amen.
And we'll read our text verse, be found in verse number 8 again today. The Bible said, "I said, I will go up to the palm tree, I will take hold of the boughs thereof. Now also thy breasts shall be as clusters of the vine, and the smell of thy nose like apples." What a tremendous statement. Let's pause to pray and ask God to help us. Our Father, we're thankful, Lord, for the day that you provided for us, for the hour that you've given, for the time that is set. I pray that you would prosper us today in the Word of God. Lord, that you'd grant liberty in the church, and may you give power to the preacher. I ask you, Lord, to let your Spirit minister to our hearts as only He can this morning. I realize there's needs, and Lord, there's grief, and there's brokenness, and there's sorrow, and there's trouble. And I'm glad, thank God, that you're a God of our sorrows and our troubles, and you're able to provide grace to help us in an hour of need. I do pray that you'll save sinners this morning. God, that you'll call them into your marvelous grace, that they might be delivered, that they might be spared, that they might be saved and washed and cleansed. I pray, Lord, that you'd touch me now, your Spirit, and fill me with your power. Energize my flesh that it might preach the Word of God, and bless the hearts of your saints, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I want to read the last part of verse number 8 this morning, where the Bible said, "And the smell of thy nose like apples." The smell of thy nose like apples. And I want to try to preach for a while this morning around the thought, and nothing new, nothing different, but try to preach around the thought that God's given me on the fragrance of His grace. The fragrance of His grace. Boy, I believe grace has got a real odor to it. It's not only something that can be seen. We know that it can be seen according to the book of Acts. They saw the grace of God at Antioch, but I'm glad that grace is something that can be smelled. It has got a very, very pleasant odor to it. And the Lord says here that the bride, that her nose is like the smell of apples. In the first part of this verse, Christ says that He's going up to the palm tree. And His going up to that palm tree, as I've already mentioned, indicates His presence in the church. Now, I want to say that we cannot dwell enough on the presence of God in His church. Somebody might say, "Preacher, that is your hobby horse." Amen. I confess that. Amen and amen. It is my hobby horse. Somebody asked an old-time preacher once. They said, "Preacher," I asked old Dr. B.R. Lakin, said, "Why do you preach so much on you must be born again?" And Dr. Lakin said, "Sir, because you must be born again." And somebody said, "Brother Hall, why do you preach so much on the presence of the Spirit of God?" I say, "For without Him, we can do nothing, church. Absolutely nothing. It is imperative that we have the presence and the power of the Spirit of God in our churches and in our home life, in our hearts as well, that we might accomplish great and wonderful things. He walked in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I'm not preaching on that this morning, but I want to say that His presence, my friend, indicates our yielding to His will. It is God's will that He dwell amongst His people. And where He is not may indicate that there is somewhat of rebellion toward the presence of Christ in the church. For it is His will and desire to dwell amongst His people. And mark her down, if He doesn't show up from time to time, there is a problem somewhere in the house of God. Either He is grieved or He is grieved or He's been quenched and He can no longer work actively inside the church that He has purchased with His own blood. You know, that'd be terrible. I'd get right ill at somebody if they deprived me of something that I had purchased with the money that I'd earned myself. Can you imagine how Christ must feel when He is deprived of the very presence in the church that He has purchased with His own blood and that it belongs to Him? God help us this morning. Now, the next three statements in reference to the bride are effects of His presence in the midst of His people. The very next three things that is stated here is the effect of Christ's presence. And I want to say to you, friend, that His presence will have an effect upon all those that He comes in contact with. He has never come in contact with one individual that person was not affected by the divine, holy presence of Almighty God. Well, I need to go back through the Bible and remind you of the places or the persons that Christ came in contact with and how their life was affected and was changed simply by His divine and holy presence upon them. Why, I don't have time. There's not enough time to tell you of all the time that Christ passed by a particular place like Jericho and a blind man named Bartimaeus that was once blind and clothed in old rags arose to have his eyes opened and become clothed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus. Or what about the man at the pool of Bethesda, lame on both feet, but when Jesus passed by, his life became greatly affected. What about the centurion whose daughter was ill? I could go on and on. What about Peter, James, and John? And what about Paul on the road to Damascus? When our Lord passed by, son, He took a wretched pile, a wicked, ungodly man that persecuted the church and made a God-called, anointed Baptist preacher out of it. I'm saying His presence. Son, we have got to have it. You want your home changed? You want your life changed? You want your family changed? Do you want your heart changed? Then it must needs be that we have the divine presence of a great sovereign walking in our midst who has the power to accomplish that for us. Amen. That's right, ain't it? Hallelujah. His presence will affect you, friend. If you meet me and forget me, you ain't going to miss much. And I'm going to tell you something. You miss Him. You meet Him. You miss Him and lose Him. You've missed it all, friend. He'll affect your life. I'll never forget the day I met Him. September the 13th, 1970, I met Him. And He changed my life. The effects of our meeting is still going on today, friend. Hallelujah. He'll not only affect you immediately, He will affect you for all eternity when He passes by your way. Hallelujah. What a great God that we have. He says there that, He said there that her breasts are like clusters of the vine. I've already touched on that, and I don't intend to labor on that today. And then He speaks about the roof of her mouth that is like the best wine, that it says. But in the latter part of verse number 8, that second statement says that the smell of her nose is like apples. Now, don't nobody leave me now. The smell of her nose is like apples. The word smell means an odor as blow. Are you with me? It means to blow on or to breathe. Apparently, come on now, apparently the Lord is saying that her breath smells like apples. I've been around a lot of folks, I would have got their breath smell like apples. I've been around a lot of folks, their breath smells like everything but apples, friend. And I won't say this, come on now, help me out. And very often a person's breath gives off an odor of the food that they have been dining upon. You ever sit down with somebody and smell them with garlic breath? They've been eating garlic. You can say, my God, man, you had garlic for supper tonight. Or a strong onion. You say, hey, you've been eating onions. Great day. I can smell it on you. We went out deer hunting on yesterday, and here come Brother Robert and Brother Steve trucking in with a old burrito or something about that long. It smelled, I smelled them when they come in, when they come through the traffic light up here on by Lowe's. I already smelled them. I said, you really expect to get a deer? Why, Brother Hall? I said, well, that stinking stuff you're eating, friend, a deer could smell that 5 miles away from them. I'm telling you, what we eat, friend, what we put in our bellies may eventually come out through the breath of our nostrils, and others may either enjoy or find displeasure in the smell that they're getting. But the Lord said, thy nose, the smell of thy nose, the breath of thy nose is like apples. I think there's a reason for that. The food she had been eating. There are at least three places besides this in the Song of Solomon where it refers to those apples. In fact, it says in chapter number 2 and verse 3, as the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. The very next verse says, stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I'm sick of love. Friend, you find that little bride, under the apple tree, then you find that little bride indulging herself off of the fruit of the apple tree. I'm here to tell you this morning, if we had found ourselves like the man of God said this morning, indulging ourselves off of the fruit of the apple tree, we would find that our breath give off the fragrance of the graces of Almighty God. Amen. I'm talking about our life. Breath is a type of life. I'm talking about our life giving off the graces. The fragrance of the graces of Almighty God. Kick that air on for me, gentlemen. Praise God. Amen. That's right. The bride is said in these places to have been in the presence of apples. She sat down under that apple tree. And his taste was very delightful. The fruit was delightful. She found herself being comforted by those same apples. But in chapter 8, it's where I want to begin our thought this morning. It says there in verse 5, who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? Notice what Jesus now, this is the bridegroom. And what he says about that little bride, I raised thee up under the apple tree. Thank God for the apple tree. Woo! He said, that's where I raised you up, was down yonder underneath that apple tree. Miss Patty, I'm not very smart, but I got to studying on that a little bit. And the word raised up there in that entire phrase, it means to the opening of the eyes. It means to wake up. It means to lift up. I want to say to you, friend, it was down under the apple tree of the cross. It's where I got my eyes opened up by the grace of God. So I got my start at Calvary, down under Calvary's tree, down under the grace of God under the cross. Oh, yes, sir. That's where He raised you up. That's where you were born again. God opened your eyes at Calvary that you might behold wondrous and glorious things out of the Word of God. At the cross where I first saw the light and the burdens of my soul were rolled away. Blessed be the Lamb of God for opening up my eyes. Oh, the grace of Calvary. I won't bring back old memories, but you don't need them right now. But the light of Calvary. Woo! Hallelujah. Thank God down at Calvary. Sons, where I got my eyes open. Where I first saw the Savior. Have you looked upon Him this morning? Has your eyes looked upon Him? And your hands have handled of the Word of Life? And have you tasted of the grace of the cross? And that the smell of thy nose may smell like divine and holy. I believe that's exactly what He's saying there. The fragrance of the cross gives off an odor, a pleasant odor. It makes your life pleasant. Makes your life sweet. Tasteful. Adds a little taste, a little sweetness, a little fragrance to your life. And I'm going to tell you something, them apples won't never rot. Brother Robert Vincent, give me one of the best statements I've heard in a long time this morning. Said he saw on a church sign, I don't know where it was at, but it said, "Trust and obey or rust and decay." Woo! Thank God I'm glad I learned to trust Him. At the cross where I learned to trust the Lord, and I've been dining under the fragrance of that apple tree, buddy, all these years. I was raised up. I was quickened, made alive under the apple tree. Son, if you could ever get a hold of what I'm saying and realize that you're alive in God today. Can I tell you, can I share this with you? We get up and brag about wherever Jesus is at. That's like heaven to me. But like I said the other Tuesday night, some of these mommy boys and mommy girls get 5 miles away from mommy and daddy, and heaven ain't heaven no more.
Right.
Son, I've learned wherever He's at, it's heavenly. Somebody said, "Preacher, where's heaven?" Don't know and don't care. I know He's going to be there, and that's all that matters to me. Are y'all listening? I won't keep you long now. The fragrance of the cross. I got to think about what do you see, and it's amazing. That Brother Steve mentioned this in the Sunday school hour. But I got to thinking about the fragrances of that apple tree down there at the cross and what transpires at that cross. May I say that, first of all, under that cross, that I see the justification of sinners. Thank God, I'm glad today I've been justified. But if I could sing that old song like Pierre Austin, I'd just sing it. He said, "I'm justified. Well, I'm happy in Jesus today. The sins I've committed, they're all in the past. They'll never condemn me, for He holds me fast. And I'm justified. Oh, I'm justified. Well, I'm happy in my Jesus today." Amen, Brother Jerry. Who wouldn't be happy, son? Knowing that at the cross, the burden of your heart rolled away. Sins are gone. Made holy, that which is ugly. Was made beautiful in that which was vile. Was made clean at the cross when I got bathed in the blood of the wonderful Lamb of God. Hallelujah. I wanted to run a little while this morning while them ladies were singing. I figured I'd offend some of you. I was waiting on you. God, I'd have followed you. What a fragrance. The smell of thy nose is like apples. Because you've been justified by the grace of God. Brother Paul said in Romans 3:24, being justified freely by His grace. Don't tell me it ain't free grace. He said being justified freely by His grace. What'd you do to get it? How hard did you have to work? What baptistry did you get dumped in? What do you have to? What works did you have to do? Son, justified freely. I'm going to say this, it'll hurl about 90% of you. But I'm going to tell you, when you realize that you are a special object of His love. I said a special object of His love. He could have walked on by. He could have left you in your sin. He could have let you die and go to hell. But He justified you freely by His grace. And look here, justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Do I need to remind you that redemption means to deliver by paying a price? Son, He delivered you by paying a price. Justified. Romans 4:25 says, who was delivered, get this now, delivered for our offenses, was raised again for our justification. Woo! Listen. Woo! See, some of you have no earthly idea. I'm going to elaborate on a little bit more in just a little while. But I want to say He died under the load of our sin. Amen. He died for our offenses. Son, He died under the load of our sin. And when He come out of the grave, had He arose with our sin, we would yet be in our sin. But He arose for our justification. Amen. Brother Andy, can y'all help me? Listen here. Do you know you want to hear haulology on justification? He died under the load of our sin. He rose for our justification. That means the just for the unjust. He died for us. Are you listening now? The just for the unjust. And here is my definition of justification. Just like He is in the world. Ain't that what John said? Just like He is in the world. Not waiting down the road, son. I'm not waiting to be justified. I am justified. I'm just like Him. If you girls get a hold of that, are you listening to me? Huh? What did I say? Huh? You're sitting on the Word of God. Your daddy's sitting on the Word of God. Papa's sitting on the Word of God. Soaking in the wrong place, brother's wrong. He died under our sins. But He rose without them. Justified. That word justified means to acquit from guilt. It means to accept as righteous. Jesus acquitted us of our guilt, and God accepted us as righteous. And it means to absolve the punishment thereof. The penalty is gone, son. Forever gone, the penalty of sin. Forever gone. Justified, justified, justified. Hallelujah. That's right. I'm hurrying. Yeah, glory to God. I won't say the second thing I see at the cross. And not only the justification of the sinner, but judgment on sin. Do you realize that sin was judged at Calvary? Somebody said, preacher, you've done flipped off. Oh no. Now I'm going to take you to a strange text to prove it to you. And son, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to get fixing to tell you something that is beyond your thinking and mine too. Amen. You ain't going to believe it. Some of you will. When it come to me, I thought of a book title. It's titled the same thing I'm going to mention. I never dreamed it from that book. God gave it to me. And then I thought of that book later. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians 15:57. Oh death. Oh death! Oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grave! Where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now you might say, victory over what? Victory over sin, death, and the law, all three of them. Now the law is not hard to figure out. He just fulfilled it. But the Bible said that death has a sting. And that sting is sin. Is that what it says? Boy, if y'all don't run, I'm going to right here. Ain't that what it says? The sting of death is sin. Now come on in the house, children. That means if somehow we could just figure out how to get around death and sin, we'd have it made, wouldn't we? How many in here know what a little honeybee is? You know anything about honeybees, Miss Sharon? You ever been stung by one? What did it? Did you notice anything about that sting? He left his stinger in your foot, didn't he? What about that? You ever been stung by a wasp? Did it leave its stinger? Didn't leave it, did it? Are you listening to me? Get this now. That little honeybee, friend, when it stings you, it leaves a stinger in your skin, and that little honeybee, it flutters off somewhere, and very presently that honeybee dies because he can't live without the sting.
Amen.
I'm just about to go crazy. The sting of death, the sting of death is sin. I'm going to show you exactly what our Lord, what happened that day. Death crawled up on top of the Lord like this and said, I've got you now, buddy, and I'm fixing to put my stinger in you. But there's a problem. When death pulled back, he left the sting in Christ. He left sin in him. The sting of death is sin. You get the sting out of death, there is no death. He left the sting in the Son of God. Now, when he left the sting, Mr. Death started to fly away and begin to say, I've got a problem. I'm feeling weak. So my death is growing weaker all the time. I want to say, my friend, that on Calvary, death died. I say again, death died. The sting of death is sin. When he left the sin in Christ, death died. That's why, friend, Jesus could say, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Because sin, death put its sting, which is sin in Christ, and death flew off and died. But it don't stop there. What do you do with dead things, Brother Robert? Jesus said, sin, your buddy's out there dead. I want you to come down here in the grave with me. Now you're in the grave there, Mr. Sin. We sat down here for 3 days and 3 nights. But I've got some saints up there I want to justify. Understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
And 3 days later, he arose. Death died and sin was buried. Their power, their penalty
He had gone, hallelujah, for ever gone from a child of God.
Amen.
Goodbye, Mr. Sin, and as far as death, it stinks so bad I'm going to let it lay out there and rot.
Amen.
But I'm come on, brother. But I'm going to tell you, don't end there. There's coming a day when Christ is going to scar the universes.
Yes.
He's going to look through all of His creation. And He's looking for one person by the name of Death. And another fellow by the name of Hell.
Amen.
And He'll cast them both into a lake of fire.
Amen.
Where the beast, the false prophet's already at. You know the book I'm thinking about? Was it Owen? Wrote a book entitled, and I never thought about it to this, The Death of Death in Christ.
Amen.
He's dead.
Amen.
He's dead. We're alive.
Amen.
I've passed from death into life because death took a hike.
Amen.
If you're here lost this morning, tell him to take a hike. If you're saved, tell sin to take a hike.
Yes.
Your sin was buried at Gethsemane with our Lord.
Yes.
Woo! Yes. And I'm going to tell you, God just gave me this. God just gave me this. I've heard preachers preach, Brother Billy, and there ain't nothing wrong with what they say. Said Jesus was buried in a borrowed tomb. Because there wasn't no tomb could hold him. He's alive till he's buried in a borrowed tomb. But I'm going to tell you something better than that. Are you ready? Sin was buried in a borrowed tomb. Because it had no place to be buried, son, until our Lord buried it.
Yeah. Amen.
Buried it in somebody else's tomb.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you where it's at according to the book of, is it Numbers? Leviticus talks about that scapegoat.
Right.
He carried, that scapegoat carried the sin to a land uninhabited.
Right. Amen.
Nobody inhabits a borrowed grave.
Amen.
Y'all have to forgive me my folly. I'm just feeling right saved. I don't know if I got enough life left in me to drive or not, but God, I'm going to try. I've already had my ginseng and my Tahitian noni juice this morning.
Hey,
man, you're weak too, Jerry. I'm tired. I won't say justification, judgment of sin, but the fragrance of the joy of the saints.
Amen.
I won't tarry here long. Beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. For this is the day, not a day, the day.
Amen.
That the Lord hath made.
Amen.
We will rejoice and be glad in it.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you what, it wasn't Armistice Day. They surrendered. But they lived on. And it wasn't VJ Day. Japan surrendered, but they lived on. I'm going to tell you, this is the day because death, hell, and the devil died that day. And death has no power to surrender. I tell you the same thing that general told the Taliban. If you want to fight, fight. But those that fight without surrender will be killed. Death and hell in the grave
Amen.
Are dead.
Amen.
And they didn't surrender. He whooped the snot out of them.
Amen.
Amen. What joy.
Amen.
Say, preacher, why are you acting like you are? I'm happy in Jesus today.
Amen.
The sins I've committed, they're all in the past. They'll never run that by you again. They'll never condemn me. For He holds me fast. And then I want to say at the cross, that fragrance of the journey that just got started. I found it at Calvary. I wish I could sing that old song. Well, it started at Calvary. That's where I got on. What a journey, friend. And look here. He made a journey that I might make a journey. He came unto His own, son. He came unto His own. What a journey. What a journey. He came unto His own in a journey that I might go to Him in my journey. That's His wonderful name. Y'all look. Where you at, Kingpin? I need some help, son. I've got to hurry. It's time to eat, and I'm hungry, and I'm tired. But I'm not sick and tired. Yes, I am sick and tired. I'm tired, and I'm sick and loved. So I guess that'd make me sick and tired. Ain't that right, Miss Louie? Whoop! I'm glad you can't see me. I can see you holding that baby. You ain't hiding from me back there. I want to say the second fragrance, not only the fragrance of the cross around those apples, but the fragrance of His comfort. She said, stay me with flagons. Comfort me with apples. For I'm sick of love. Pile all the apples around me you want to. And I'm going to look here. He comforted her with so much comfort in her hour of need that her breath of her nostrils smelt like apples. Huh? What comfort? Who are you leaning on today?
That's right.
Who is this that cometh out from the wilderness leaning on her beloved? Amen. Why, it's the same one I raised up under the apple tree.
Amen.
Who are you leaning on? What are you leaning on? What's your hope in?
Amen.
David said, I'm going to hope in Him, for He hath quickened me, made me alive.
Amen.
Who are you leaning on today? Who's comforting your heart? Somebody said, Brother Hall, don't comfort us anymore. Never could. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all mercies. Who comforteth us in all of our tribulations, wherewith we ourselves may comfort others also. More than half, children. Now look here. Get this now. That word comfort, and I'm not going into all detail, but comfort sustains us. That comfort is what holds you up in your trials and tribulations. It's what holds you up in your hour of need. It's what holds you up, my friend, when you're broken and grieved and hurt. That's what that comfort of God. And by the way, you can find comfort because you found the cross. Let me read this verse. Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction.
Amen.
For thy word hath quickened me. Listen to this verse. And it was written when David was fleeing from Absalom in Psalm 3:5. I laid me down and slept. I awaked. Why, David? For the Lord sustained me. How? Through His comfort. By the fragrance of His grace. By the apple tree. He comforteth me and sustained me. My God's worse than Grand Central Station in here. But they make no never mind. I'm in another world. Y'all can do whatever you want to. I'm done gone. I've done stepped off the edge of the mountain this morning, friend. I'm way out on God. I'm telling you, I didn't know how to preach this morning. I was as low as a whale in the bottom of the ocean. I sat down in that maroon recliner over in the other upper room. There's one down, one to go. And I sat down in that other room. Listen to me now. I sat down in that other room, turned on that radio, and they started playing instrumental music. And I said, what's Doug done? I said, God, I got to have something. And there he ain't even got the preacher's hour on. And about that time, they started playing a song, a choir song, the one we sang here. Which one is it? Somebody help me. He lifted me out of the deep miry clay. And about that time, here comes Doug's voice. And I thought, what is he doing? Time and a half of the morning, the preacher's hour. I said, what's he doing? Then he brought it back on and they finished that song. And old Keith Purser, I guess it was him. I don't know. You may not agree with everything he does, but I'm going to tell you they had God in there this morning. No, Keith Purser walked up there and said, when now what's the word? Huh? When peace like a river attendeth my way. When sorrows like sea, that's my daddy's favorite song, billows roll. Oh boy. Now, I'm going to tell you, God said, it's all right, son. It is well. It is well.
Amen.
You may be lower than a toad. Somebody said, preacher, why was you low? You want me to tell you? I don't want to make you sorry. But I'm going to tell you what makes me sorry is you being sorry.
Amen. Right.
I don't have another care in the world. I don't have a problem in the world. I'm going to tell you what grieves me, you.
Amen.
When I see you hurting and grieved and I can't seem to do nothing to help you, I can't preach the right message, can't pray the right prayer, can't seem to do nothing that'll comfort your heart, and you just go on and on in that grief, I'm going to tell you, that's what discourages me.
Amen. Amen, preacher.
You don't mind me confessing, do you? Are you listening to me? He sustains us with comfort in our tribulation. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all of our tribulation. Come on in the house, children. Do you remember? Hey, do you remember when Lazarus died? Mary and Martha went out to the tomb. Mary and Martha was in the house, and they had sent for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible said that many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. He not only comforts us, my friend, sustains us by His comfort in tribulation, but also in tragedy. Casting all your care upon Him. Why? Because when tragedy comes, He cares for you. I want to show you something this morning, buddy. Do you think He went down there only for Lazarus' sake? All He had to say from where He was at was Lazarus come forth and Lazarus would come out of the grave. Distance is no barrier with Him. He spoke one time and a centurion's daughter was healed from a distance. But I'm going to tell you why He went down there. He went down there and said, come here, Martha. God love your heart. I know these Jews is trying to help you. But I'm going to tell you who's got the real help, Martha. You and Mary both.
That's right.
Me.
Amen.
That's the only reason I'm here. I come down so you could visibly see me and touch and handle the Word of Life.
Amen.
That you might know that I've come to comfort you.
Amen.
How are you going to comfort me, Lord? I'm going to comfort you by solving your problem.
Amen.
Why, he stinks. Been in a grave 4 days. Lazarus! Come forth. Do you reckon they were comforted in their tragedy?
Amen.
He'll comfort you in your tribulation. Yeah. Comfort you in your tragedies.
Yes, sir.
He'll sustain you in all your troubles. For He hath delivered me out, David said, of all my trouble.
Amen.
And mine eye hath seen His desire on my enemies. What did I just tell you a while ago happened to all your enemies? Death dead, sins buried, grave has lost its victory. Now, what makes you think this morning that God saved you and deserted you to yourself? God saved you because He loved you, and He loved you just because He loved you, and He'll comfort you all because He loved you. In Luke 16, that rich man said, Lord, he said, have mercy on me. Just send Lazarus one drop of water. And Abraham said, Father, remember in thy lifetime, thou hadst good things and Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted. And thou art tormented. Somebody said, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying he comforts us in life, he comforts us in death, and he'll comfort us throughout all eternity. Amen. By sustaining us with that comfort. Amen. Who is this? See, that's where your problem's at this morning. Come here, Doug. Who is this? Walk down through there. Not so fast. Now I'm an old man. That cometh up out of the wilderness. Preacher, I can't make it. Just lean. Leading, lead the everlasting arms. Who is this? Why? I raised up under that apple tree. And she learned at the apple tree to lean on the apple bearer.
That's right.
God have mercy. Amen. Who are you leaning on?
Amen.
If he didn't desert Lazarus in death and eternity, he would. Certainly not going to desert us now. No. I'm closing with this. The fragrance of His care. Did you know He cares for you? Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness leaning upon her beloved? Casting all. How many cares is that? All cares.
Amen.
Upon Him. For He careth for you.
Amen.
We know that Sandy is grieved naturally.
Amen.
I tell you something. He's a God of all comfort.
Amen.
Even in tragedy. I don't know how those folks that their families were lost in the Twin Towers and the Pentagon and those airplanes. I don't see how those without Christ managed to make it. But I'm glad we got somebody we can lean on because He cares for us and we can cast all. Oh, yes.
Amen.
He's concerned. He's concerned about you. He can be touched with the feeling of your infirmities. Don't be afraid. Don't be so proud to pour out your heart before God and tell Him all your troubles and cares. He cares for you. You listen to me well now. When we try to brace up under our load, we'll break. You can't! You can't! That's why when you go to funerals, they got to have uppers and downers and drugs and dope and alcohol and liquor to get people through it. And it burns me up to go to a funeral and walk in. Somebody's there having a little problem. And first thing, the mortician, now we've got some sedatives in here for these kind of cases. I've got a sedative too.
Amen.
Solomon 8:5!
Amen.
Lean on Him. He cares. He's concerned.
Amen.
My goodness, He died on Calvary for us. Seeing what makes us say that God is not concerned about every little need in our life.
Amen.
I'm going to say this. I know that Miss Gwen is homesick as a buzzard. Huh? You don't think He don't care for you? Sure He does.
Amen.
Maybe proving ground.
greater things on down the road. Make it through a little trial, a little temptation, a little trouble. Greater things on down the road.
Amen.
You don't know what He's going to do in your life, little girl. I remember when we went to Tucson, when I'd stand there and look out that bay window in that little old family room in that house. It looked right out toward Mount Lemmon, over toward the city of Tucson. Oh, Lord. My heart's back there. But He sustained me. He sustained me.
Amen.
Amen.
Until God said, turn eastward. He might tell you to turn south again. You never know. He might tell me to turn south. I may have to leave this church next month, Paul. I don't have no guarantee of being here forever.
Amen.
Some of you probably wish it hurried and get here. Listen. He cares when we're brokenhearted.
Amen.
Get this. This is deep theology. He cares when we're broke.
Amen.
Ain't got nothing in there but an old worn-out deer tag. Two of them. I could have paid $40 for hamburger meat and had a lot more meat in the fridge. But listen to me carefully. Lord, I don't have any money today. I'm broke. I know it, son. But I want you to listen very carefully. See them little sparrows out there flying around? I was setting up in that deer stand out there the other day, counting mully grubbing. And I was going to tell, 2 days in a row, and I was going to tell Sister Hall about it for God. I seen a little old bird just stuck on the side of that tree. It wasn't no bigger than my thumb. Could it have been a, is there such a thing as a tree wren or a wood wren or something that's just a little bitty? It wasn't no bigger than that. And I said, Lord, I sure am low. And He said, you see that little old bird. He don't have to work at a job, draw a paycheck, or have a savings account. But I give him a home to live in, food to eat.
Amen.
Are you not worth more than several of them little old birds?
Amen.
I'm about to get happy, guys. You got any God on you?
Amen.
He cares when you're brokenhearted.
Amen.
And He cares when you're broke. And He cares when you're burdened with a load that seems so heavy you can't carry it. But preacher, you don't understand what I'm going through. That's the point I've been trying to make all day. I know I don't. But He does. He does. He cares when you're burdened. He cares when you're brokenhearted. He cares when you're broke. I'm closing now. Listen. He cares when you're bewildered, frustrated, confused about things. Don't know which way to turn. Why this is happening. What? You're just bewildered.
Right.
He cares.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you something else. He knows the way that you take.
Yes, sir. Lord.
Fragrance of His grace. I know! I smell apples. And the reason I smell them is because I raised you up down under that apple tree. And you have dined. Feed yourself on the cross.
Amen.
Don't get away from it.
Amen.
Don't leave the cross. Stay there.
Amen.
If you're going to be comforted with apples, why don't you get under the tree where they're falling off?
Amen.
Amen.
I remember when I was a boy, we'd go out to them apple trees. We'd see them great big ones, and we'd want to throw a rock at them and knock them off. My uncle's up out there and say, boys, pick up the ones that's already on the ground. They're the sweetest anyway.
Amen.
And that comfort and that care is just a result of the cross. It's like a handful of purple. And I'm going to tell you, if you really want to, you can just sit down under that apple tree. Hey, God, I got a whiff of apple. Y'all cooking apples in the back? I smell apples. Sit down under that tree and delight yourself from the fruit or with the fruit thereof. Let's stand together. Thanks be unto God. What a God.
Amen.
Fragrance of the cross, its comfort, and its cares. Are you bewildered today, burdened, broken? He'll sustain you with his comfort. Stay me with flagons. Comfort me with apples. For I'm sick of love. Heavenly Father, I've tried to preach my heart to your people. Lord, I ask you to do for them what I can and what they cannot do for themselves. You are the God of all comfort and grace. And I know there are some here, Lord, that are in bitter trials, some broken and hurting and grieving. And it's my prayer that the great God of all comfort, Lord, would drop just a few of those apples of grace around where they're sitting. May the fragrance of Calvary flow from the breath of your children. And Father, if there'd be some here today that's yet blind, they've never been raised up under that apple tree, I pray, O God, today they might find deliverance from thee. And I'll thank you for doing that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. What is that, Brother George? 296. Jesus is calling. You broken today, burdened, troubled, grief, won't you come let him fix your heart up? He'll fix your heart all up today if you'll let him. Let's sing together. Let's sing, please. Lead Jesus is calling. Hear that? He's calling. Stay me with flagons. Comfort me with them. For I'm sick of love. Who is this? Cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved. I raise thee up under the hour. Appreciate everybody being here and appreciate the morning hour.